The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So we are back live after doing a two-parter.
Yeah. One, two. Now we're back for just a one-parter. A fun little Christmas episode, if you will, because it is the week of Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. I hope you had a good Hanukkah. I hope you had a good whatever you celebrate or you're about to celebrate.
Or don't celebrate.
Yep. Some people are choosing that this year, which 100% understand and a little on board with. Either way, but not on this podcast. That's my personal feelings. On this podcast, we are going to talk about holiday-themed bars and restaurants today. Uh-huh. And guess who you're listening to? Sidewalk Podcast, everybody.
Oh, guys. I'm your guest, Andrea Wallace. Jingle jangle.
Oh, my God. You just said, I'm your guest.
Oh, did I?
Andrea Wallace. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with me. No.
Do you want me to host and you be the guest?
Yeah, I kind of, maybe that's where I'm going. I don't know why I say these things. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace. We don't have a guest.
We're equals. No guest today. I do have there's a catering update. You saw me break down in tears at breakfast last Saturday.
I did. Yeah. There was a brunch emergency of emotion that came out of Brooke Van Poplin, but it needed to happen. A bunch of friends were there for her in the moment. I hope things have gotten better since then.
Yes, absolutely. I think after my initial, glowing feedback, which I still stand by, the gig that I was at, then I, of course, got, had to come face to face with the other side of catering, which I did a little more of, which is just being the smiling toad who asks people if they want a meatball. And that, I didn't.
Honestly, you don't even need to ask me you didn't even have to ask, Brooke. I want a meatball. And everybody wants a meatball.
Exactly. I think moving forward, if
you want to be, you want the meatball tray. You want the good stuff.
You want something where you don't have to explain what it is, you just walk by with things that people take. I realized I was being friendlier than I felt comfortable being friendly with.
Yeah, I assume you just have to be I have to detach now, and go to the place.
It's because I obviously care and want to do a good job for someone else's holiday party. Right. Mm-hmm. I forgot to disassociate.
Yeah. You got to leave that vessel. You got to leave your meat vessel and serve meat balls.
Balls. Yeah, exactly. Escape the meat sack, the prison of your body, so you can serve meatballs. But yes, I did have a moment after my fourth time going around asking people if they wanted a cookie where I was like, I'm 45. What happened? Why do I live in LA?
I do really like how when you ask someone if they wanted a cookie the first time, it was full of hope. And throughout the night, it kept just being do you want a cookie? Do you ask me if I want a cookie, or are you questioning your own life right now? That cater waiter looks like she's having a crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, Brooke.
It's okay.
It's fine.
No. It's all right. I'm still trying to get a server job elsewhere. Try and clean up for the end of the year if I can, and well into. I'll take a January slump if that's what you got for me, people.
I mean, I think it just harkens back to that shit is fucked right now.
Oh. 100%. Anyways, how y'all doing? Is this a weird holiday for you? Get at us. We've got the hugs and the love. We are 100% on the whole, like, what kind of homemade present would you like for me sort of train, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I get some store credit at work. Quarterly, and my family members will be getting skincare products because I don't have to pay for them. I mean, technically, I work for them, but anyway, it's like a bargain deal. They don't listen to anything that I do artistically or, you know, perform, so they're not going to know. It's not going to spoil anything.
Right on. I love it.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone. Christmas to
me. Yeah. Anyway, Let's jump into some headlines, shall we?
Yes. This one's sort of everything. This sort of like sums up the whole reason we do this podcast. So this headline, simply from the New York Post, if you've seen it circulating, this has been around for a few weeks. The headline of this post says, "Woman who threw burrito bowl at a Chipotle worker is sentenced to work at fast food restaurant."
Jesus Christ. This is a 39-year-old a 39-year-old person who basically had an issue with her like dumb Chipotle burrito bowl, which like, I don't know if it like didn't look right to her. You know, I'm not a Chipotle person, but no, I've had a bowl before and it's just a bunch of crap in one bowl. It's like mounded on there. She had an issue with it and she violently hurled it into Emily Russell, the worker behind the counter, right into her face, attacking her.
And as someone who has eaten one in the last 2 weeks, they're hot. Okay. That is hot rice and beans.
Yeah.
Flaming hot beans thrown in someone's face.
Yeah, that's hot pre-diarrhea. Hot pre-diarrhea.
Oh, God. It doesn't matter if the food was cold. She threw a burrito bowl in an employee's face.
Yes.
Basically having an adult tempy tanty.
Caught on film.
And an attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's assault. This was in Ohio, in case you were curious. Parma, Ohio. So, and this video is out there too. And what I do like are definitely some of their customers came to like grab this woman who had her temper tantrum to be like, hey, you come here. And, you know, she was having a day, I'll tell you what. But so she was sentenced. A local municipal court judge, Timothy Gilligan, said to her during her sentencing, "This is not the Real Housewives of Parma."
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because they're in Parma, Ohio. And right. He said her behavior's not acceptable. She tried to just keep going on, be like, "But my food looked disgusting." He's like, "Nope, shut it. Nope. No comments about how your food looked. Like, your behavior it makes no sense." And you know, she, like, literally tried to get sympathy points to be like, it's like, bitch, if you didn't know Chipotle was disgusting to begin with, then I don't know how to help.
Well, I think
you.
It doesn't like doesn't really matter. It's just like, that's just not how you handle a situation. Like, you don't violently attack somebody. Yeah.
It's so crazy. But basically the judge then goes on to say, if you thought that was disgusting, I bet you won't be happy with the food you're going to get in jail. Ouch.
Slammed. Indeed.
But then he went on to basically have a brilliant idea, which is the kind of sentencing you and I would dole out. Am I right? Mm-hmm. This judge, we should get this judge on the podcast.
What? Yeah. I mean, I think so. So basically, like, in order to reduce her jail time, like sentence, like where she'd be incarcerated, she was sentenced to work at a fast food restaurant to lessen her sentence.
Yep. 20 hours a week for at least 2 months.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I this has to come with a lot of parameters. In my opinion, you're just going to be like, depending on where she goes to work, will it be a Chipotle? Will it not be a Chipotle? I think it just has to be a food, fast food restaurant. You know, mm-hmm. How is she being monitored? Like, I think she should just have to clean things the entire time personally. Like, I don't think she should be able to do, like, I don't know. I feel like it should be like, she should be giving like the grunt work. personally.
Sure. Like scraping all the, well, I don't know. No, I think, I also think a healthy dose of grunt work, but I think the point is to be public facing and to see how sure. demeaning it can feel as is. And then that you do not also need someone screaming at you and then throwing their food in your face, which, by the way, I keep seeing more videos of like crazy women and driving up to a Starbucks cross, you know, drive through in their like fucking expensive Escalades or whatever, and like throwing drinks in the barista's face through the drive through window because one little thing was like, what is going on, people?
People are, you know, I think you were, what do they call it? Late stage capitalism. I think those are the terms being bopped around out there.
Yeah.
Who knows? People are on edge for over the smallest little things. You know, I personally would never, could never in a million years. I don't know. We'll see what happens if I get old and get dementia. You know, I'm already like using the wrong words when introducing myself on a podcast, guys. And as you guys know, if you listen a lot, I misuse my words a lot. But I hope I never get to that point, you know? But again, this person's 39 years old. I mean, what the actual fuck, you know?
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Well, good news. The employee who did get the burrito bowl launched at her switched to a different job. And she does feel that, you know, justice was doled out.
Awesome.
You know, got jail time and having to work in a fast food restaurant. You know, I like this judge's style, trying to get this big, big baby to learn a sense of empathy moving forward. So,
absolutely.
What's this?
Well, let's bop into this other one too, shall we? This one's great. We kind of talked about this at brunch on Saturday, but like I didn't realize like who was behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
the plot just thickened because we've talked about this.
My God, I know. When I saw this headline, I was like, haven't we already covered this? The answer is like, sort of. Okay, so are you guys ready for the world's first automated, fully AI-powered restaurant to open? Are you guys ready?
Are you ready? And Andrea and I can go there. It's a stone's throw from Jesus where Christ. We live.
It's Pasadena, guys. We're
once again.
Dreams come true. I mean, that's like real JPL shit over there. You know what I mean? A lot of robotic stuff that's like Caltech. It's like, you know, rock star technology coming out. So this company, which we've already talked about, Flippy, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the past, so Flippy is like the automated machines, like the big robotic arms that come in and they flip the burgers and they dunk the fries and they pick them back up, is behind this company. And they're basically calling the company Cali Express by Flippy. It's partnering with Miso Robotics and Pop ID. So if you're ordering through AI and then you can watch your order being made through AI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dun 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 da 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 dun 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 dun. Right, that's all happening. Total automation until you get your food. But like, are they bringing you your food too? Like,
yeah,
this
they
one
did.
Gets fuzzy. Is it all robots?
I know it says completely AI. So you do a touch screen. Flippy makes your food, and then they do already have the robots who come to your table and, you know, lay your tray down.
Like, if you ask to talk to a manager, does like a robot with a tie come on out onto the floor? Like, I'm just
right.
I there's gonna have to be human beings somewhere, right? Like,
I mean, someone's gotta be the overlord of the machines. Yes,
right.
But, you know, maybe they are behind a darkened window somewhere in the establishment, and they try and, you know, stay as hands off as possible. I don't know. I just for the purpose of research on our part, I would like to go see it. It's probably not a lot of money to just get a burger, mm-hmm. and then we can report back mm-hmm. our feelings. Mm-hmm. But here's I have a question for you guys. Which would you prefer? A burger, fast food served to you by Flippy, mm-hmm. or Rosemary Hain from Parma, Ohio, who just got sentenced to work in a fast food restaurant?
I mean, that's true. I guess I just am realizing how like these stories really correlate. But also,
she's a bit of a Flippy. Hello.
Yeah, that's definitely go. Yeah, she's the human Flippy. But I
I mean, this is obviously like saving money, making more efficient product, like, you know, but it's taking away jobs, right?
It does take away jobs. And like, we all know that this is the kind of employment that so many people in America rely on, either as their first and main job or as their second job. And
right.
It pisses me off.
Look, this is essentially Vincent Price's workshop and Edward Scissorhands, guys. This is what we're going, you know, instead of like little sugar cookies, we're going to see basically, you know, burgers being made. And you know what? If there's a Johnny Depp that comes down off the hill and he is just like part, his hands are part spatulas, you know, I might go there, Brooke.
I hear you. I also realize Edward Scissorhands, I think, is like one of my favorite holiday movies.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie. Well, this is kind of the year where people are like, this is a Christmas movie. I'm saying it is. And I think Edward Scissorhands is absolutely a Christmas movie that is underrated and should be played. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Now I want to watch that later.
Da,
I was like, oh my gosh. I my niece has as you can understand, her and many girls of her age, 7 and a half, almost 8, all have like real severe crushes on Jack Skellington.
Mm-hmm.
I was too old already when the movie came out, but I was like, hell yeah, girl, I get you. Wait till you're a few years older and dad lets you watch Edward Scissorhands. Get ready for a new genre of crush. Because I'm like, you're already proving yourself to be a little goth, just like your Auntie Brooke. But yeah, I mean, Edward Scissorhands, I was like, I love him and I'm attracted to him and I want to protect him at all costs.
Uh-huh. I'll wrap your bits wrap them around me. Wrap those scissor hands around me. Oh, here we go. Statement by Callie expressed by Flippy Kitchen can be efficiently managed by a smaller crew, offering a less stressful atmosphere compared to competing restaurants while ensuring above average wages. See, this is the thing. And I think there's got to be a crew. Like, I want to see the Cisco truck roll up. And I want to see, like, the Cisco driver, like, being confused, having to, like, interact with robots. Like, to me, it's a very Star Wars situation. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But then comes, you know, it doesn't come without robot bias and straight up, like, robot racism, which is pretty heavily, like,
I think,
put out there in Star Wars, in my opinion.
Machinism. I don't know what
machinism.
You would call that.
Yes, for sure. But I don't know. I mean, we're totally going though, right?
Yeah, we got to go do research in the
2024. Put it on the old bingo card. All right, guys. Well, let's, you know, we got one. Let's get into it. Our server
submitted
a story. Yay. Okay, so we got this one coming in hot. Here we go. Ladies, you warmed my heart and made me laugh while reliving my tales of the first world struggle. Much to my delight, and in an odd coincidence, you plugged my story in the most perfect complimentary subject, aviation. All right. I never entered the world of flight attending. A 2-hour event with a terrible table is enough. I can't imagine venturing on a 10-hour or more flight with the same asshole people. However, I have an interesting spin on hospitality in the aviation industry. My journey began when I took that exit from restaurants and entered the niche world of air ambulance. I utilized my pre-med degree and combined it with my multitasking skills that I developed in restaurants and ultimately became Garcia from Criminal Minds for an air ambulance company. Okay, so fast forward, I moved to the other coast of Florida and eventually found myself working at the private airport here in my city as a customer service coordinator. Basically, I am a server on golf cart wheels for the 1% of America, which oddly enough is more people than you'd think. I am the first smiling face that the plane sees. I handle their catering, their laundry, wash their dishes, and order their lab and fuel needs. All that awesome stuff. However, at the end of the day, I really do love this dynamic environment and the relationships with both the pilots and passengers that come and go. It's a truly unique experience. Cool.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
I know.
Like, you didn't even know this kind of stuff existed. Like, just like a teeny tiny private airport.
concierge, if you will. So regarding your invitation to potentially join an episode about the experience of rejoining the restaurant world, consider me completely humbled and 100% on board if when you feel the time is right. Furthermore, your sentiments on the recent catering gig and the mentality that was felt behind it is definitely relatable. I go back to the restaurant with such a relaxed state of mind, even when being berated by customers. Anyway, thank you again for the shout out. I look forward to hearing more of what you have and also reviewing some older episodes. And as always, Godspeed and good tips and happy holidays. And that's from Monica.
Yeah.
That's really so nice.
When I first read this basically email from her, I missed the pre-med part because I was like, air ambulance and food service, what the fuck is going on here? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, ah, okay, got it. Because like, obviously there's air ambulance, which is an actual service that
right.
has a lot to do with, I guess, transporting. I don't know. I don't know the, anyways, but there's got to be another way to get into service if you're a service industry person where like, yeah, like being like, not having to go up in the air with the people, but being on the ground, the prep person who then, like she said, you're showing up to the, you know, to the door when the plane lands and just kind of, yeah, servicing the plane. And it sounds kind of awesome. Like you get your job done, you know what it's going to look like every time. And you kind of get to do service industry, but just deal with pilots.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, yeah. And here you're just, yeah, it's a niche. I mean, like she said, very, very niche, very small fries. Not, I mean,
yeah, you know,
but like smaller area. Awesome. Great. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people seem really geeked about us doing an episode about reentering the workforce. It seems to be something that like everybody has done. And I guess I'm, yeah, why we've never covered it. It amazes me, Brooke, that there's still so many things to talk about after all these years.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. So, well, any thoughts on any and all of the above, you can send them our way to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Topic of the day. This is fun.
This is fun. I kind of, you know, I was like there. I know for a fact, being from Michigan, where we used to go to a town called Frankenmuth, where also the band, what's the Led Zeppelin cover band? They're from Frankenmuth, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is so weird to be from there, but it's really cool. God, it'll come to me in a minute.
Okay.
But,
where is it in Michigan?
Yeah, it's a little, I want to say mid-Michigan, sort of. It only takes about an hour or so to get there, but you definitely, from where I live and more southeast, my parents are, you kind of drive north and then a little more inward into mm-hmm. the state.
Okay.
But that whole area, too, of Michigan has, you know, a lot of people from Holland, and then this whole area is known as Little Bavaria.
Oh, cool.
So it's a lot like Solvang here in California, where it's very Bavarian, it's very Dutch, it's got the whole, like, it's like windmills everywhere and all the beautiful chalets. Anyway, so just being from a state that has a year-round holiday town, I was like, why don't we see what else is out there, baby? And we'll get into actual Frankenmuth in a minute, but since we did record an episode and again didn't get to wish anyone happy Hanukkah, we know it's over already. Mm-hmm, we're sorry. I did research and find out that there are tons of Hanukkah-themed bars that might be Hanukkah-themed year-round, and there were so many fun pop-ups. Please let us know if you went to such a thing or work at such a thing. This one is amazing. I don't know if you saw, if you were looking at this Thrillist article. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, Hanukkah cocktails aplenty made with Manischewitz. And I don't know if you say Slivovitz, plum brandy. There are dreidels to spin while you drink and greasy latkes to nosh on.
Nice.
At this place called Maccabees. And I didn't know if I said that right, but I think it's Maccabees. Do you?
Yeah, it looks like Maccabees is pretty right to me. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's this place called Kaivi and Kohani. Now, here's where my, you know, Jewish accent goes right out the window. But this place, I think this is also in New York City.
This is in D.C.
Oh, this one was in D.C. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. That place sounds so fun. Basically, anyone who's being, like they said, a Hebrew humbug, the bar set up a complaint line and basically... This is my favorite tagline. Due to this totally sacrilegious nature of this bar, all complaints may be sent to rabbibetdin@ivyandkoni.com, which is amazing. But they have, they engineered their entire shot ski called the Shot Nora.
Oh,
it's
my
a giant God. Menorah
that everybody allows does, like, eight- one of the.
Exactly. You get to do the eight shots for the eight nights of Hanukkah, and you can all knock it back together at once, which I think is hilarious and brilliant.
That's amazing. Now I just want latkes. I haven't eaten yet today. And like, I want like a full on, like, we actually, for Christmas Eve, we are doing like a little latke spread. We're going to kind of make everything in one area is going to be like a little latke area. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. Just like all the fun toppings. And I know. So good.
I don't know if any of these others stuck out to you, but there's one here in Los Angeles called Busby's. Mm-hmm. That's a Hanukkah pop-up that's happening right now. We still have time to make it. Oh my God, this is great. They have a trivia night called Did You Know? They do Jewy and not so Jewy bar trivia, which I think is amazing. You can test your knowledge and prove yourself a maven of Yiddish minutia as you'd partake in complimentary drinks and Hanukkah eats, which they're guessing once again is latkes.
That's amazing. I mean, I just think there's a bunch. There's a couple in San Francisco. There's one called Deck the Halls in San Francisco. You know, they do a lot of, again, Manischewitz-based cocktails. Manischewitz, like, cobbler. I mean, it's a pop-up. You're getting, like, basically a temporary vacant bar that teams up and set up a space that's, like, you know, they kind of make a toy store meets a comfy lodge meets a penguin paradise is what they do. Making it a perfect place for Bay Area Hebrews to schmooze over a mixture of Manischewitz. I'm saying this wrong with Sherry. You help me.
I don't know how to.
Orange juice and simple syrup in the cocktail. I can't pronounce it. Yeah. That sounds great.
That sounds great
super
too.
Fun.
And you know what I like about this too? Because this is such a New York City thing. So this other, even though this bar called Miracle on 7th in Washington, D.C., the whole vibe there, which I love, is it's a basically an interfaith, mixed faith hangout and celebration. So I also think this is really great. Like if you, many people are like, I don't celebrate either, but I want to do something because everyone's gone over the holidays.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So they, isn't this so great? So they do Chinese food and a movie, which is a total take on the informal Jewish tradition of basically going to the movies and eating Chinese food when the Gentiles celebrate Christmas.
That's super awesome. There's this other pop-up bar that's like, it's not Hanukkah related, but they do a holiday stuff only because they're doing a recent, they did Home Alone where they play a movie and then anything that like a character eats in a movie, they like bring to you to eat. So like you're eating the food in the movie, and they just did Home Alone, and they did other ones that are like not Christmas related, but there's one in New York and then there's one here. So we should try and go.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Don't leave. I'm sad you're leaving for the holidays.
No, the Home Alone is totally sold out. So we'll have to go to like one like after the holidays. I did already look into it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right, I'm only gone for 5 days, by the way.
Yeah. All right. I thought that was so rad. So hope you guys all had a lovely Hanukkah. Now moving into the territory where I'm really confident pronouncing words. Fucking Christmas, baby. So this is to get back into Frankenmuth in Michigan. So this whole place, my parents were there yesterday. My mom was not answering texts. I was getting so mad at her. And she's like, we're at Bronner's. We're at Bronner's, which is the world's largest Christmas store.
Nice.
It was, of course, designed with Alpine architecture, like a chalet. Uh-huh. The building is 7.3 acres with landscaped grounds. Oh, you have to like put on your fucking track shoes to go hang out at Bronner's. You do so much walking. You get your 10,000
steps. A restaurant in it? Like, are there food options?
So not where they sell the Christmas related stuff. That's all concentrated on your decorations, your uh-huh. ornaments, your trees. And then the Bavarian Inn is adjacent. That's what we would do. We would go. It, like, for me, I always remember not liking it. It's overwhelming. Now that I realize I have like, you know, ADHD situations and panic disorder.
Yeah, you're like, why am I spinning out and feel like the whole world's crushing in on me on this store right now?
Absolutely hate that place. And then we would go have to sit and have a chicken dinner at the Bavarian Inn with my grandparents. And that place was like so boring for kids. I, as an adult now, I would find it very charming. But it's crazy because It's crazy because I think they were saying like in 2018, there were over 350 huge decorated Christmas trees inside, which is like so many. Imagine that being your job year round. But
I mean,
it's kind of something to behold, and you can do it all year long, baby.
I do wonder how they do, like, I mean, because people obviously are coming in like the summer and July, and you wonder kind of like what the town is like, you know, in the summer months, and if everybody really like starts to feel the spirit when the temperature starts to change and they know they're
gonna, I don't know,
gear up for the busy season. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think you would just like, when you live there, you're just like, oh God, it's Christmas year round here. That could be fun to have like a holiday movie about living in a town where it's the holidays
Christmas all year round. There might be a Hallmark movie. There could be a Hallmark movie that's already been made. We should look.
Shout out Frankenmuth, Michigan. So this I found out, which is kind of weird. The website is already taken down, so I don't know if this casino still exists. But supposedly in Colorado, there is a Christmas-themed casino year-round.
That's not a terrible idea. Like Santa's like casino and palace or whatever. That is not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. And I brought it up and I don't even know what else to say because I was going to give you more intel on it. And the website is not activated. Maybe they're in some sort of trouble.
I don't know. I'm just going to Google it right now and see what we can find.
Yeah. Thanks. Get on it, would you?
I mean, I feel, is it the Christmas Casino, Star Rising Casino? I mean, here's. Okay. All right. Here's one. It's holiday decor. They got a market and village and live reindeer. And maybe just a little casino. Other than that, it doesn't seem like it's very, I don't know how big it is.
Yeah. And it's brand new, which is weird. I kind of want the Christmas themed thing to have been around for a long time. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Vegas needs to step their shit up and have a Christmas themed casino.
And yep, it could look like what I'm talking about.
Like, what would it look like on the outside? You have the Luxor that looks like a big pyramid. You know, Luxor is like pretty shitty these days. Like, I just like I've been looking. There's an Instagram page for everything. And there's a woman who's local to Vegas, and she goes and rates and reviews rooms, and she takes her little black light with her to check and see how disgusting the rooms really are. And she did the Luxor on one, and it was not good. And it's like, you can still get rooms there. I think you can get rooms for like $30 a night there. You know what I mean?
Deadly.
That's how bad it is. But look, you already have the potential with the shape of the Luxor to like kind of turn it into a Christmas tree.
It's a tree.
Is what I'm saying. So like, so if there needs to be a revitalization and like someone needs to rebrand and take over, I really do think if you put like a star right on top of the pyramid and turn it green, it could turn into a Christmas themed casino very, very easily.
Wow. You're welcome. You're welcome. We don't deserve Andrea. We don't deserve her. Well, moving on, we'll just kind of wrap up with my favorite things in the world. One of the places I've not been to, but now I want to go to. In Nashville, Tennessee, there's a spot called Santa's Pub.
Oh, yeah.
And it's housed in a double wide trailer.
Perfect.
Cash only. It's the real deal. It's been there. Like, it's a true dirty ass dive bar. They are open until 3 a.m. every night, and they basically do karaoke until 3 a.m., which, and, you know, damn well that that's something you and I are all about.
And you can still smoke inside. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is, I'm like, what is it, Christmas, like, 1999? Like, that's what it reminds me of.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And then I don't think we went together. Did we go to Lala's Little Nugget in Austin?
I feel like we did, or you talked about it. Like, I feel like we must have.
Well, this is an amazing place that's been in Austin, Texas for 50 years, owned by Lala, who her last name, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just forgot her last name. Anyways, I'll look that up in a minute, but she opened the bar. It's been there for 50 years, opened in 1972. It's an amazing Christmas-themed dive bar in Austin. She passed away a few years ago, but some other, like another bar group who owns some places like the Mean-Eyed Cat, which is a place I love, so they're, like, they're good bar owners, swooped in, bought it, changed barely a few things, but basically are keeping the spirit of the place alive, even though she passed away, and opened a second location in South Austin called Lala's South Pole.
Oh
yeah, baby.
Cool.
But this is great. So when you go to, like, it's Christmas year round, they do like spiked hot chocolate with little mini marshmallows in it. Like, you can get this in the blazing hot heat of an Austin summer, which I freaking love. It's a dark cave, obviously decked out with all the coziness of the holidays. And so basically this article, I'll just touch on this real quickly. They went in to interview one of the bartenders and part owners, and they're basically like, all right, tell us the true story about how this year-round Christmas bar called Lala's Nugget came to be. And basically, the bartender's like, okay, I'll tell you all three rumors, but I'm not going to tell you which one is true.
That's fun.
So fun. And this is our lovely little holiday tale we'll end on. He said, we just like to let people discern which one they want to believe. And that's the spirit of this holiday season. So basically, the first one is the most well-known, that Frances, that her son left for Vietnam right before Christmas. She promised not to take down the decorations in the bar until he came home from the war, but he never returned, so the decorations never came down. Hayes Carl wrote a song about it called Jesus and Elvis, and Kenny Chesney covered it and made it a top 10 hit on the country chart. Okay.
You know, this is like a real wait, don't tell me situation, you know?
I'm, yes.
Like, yes.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. The owner's name was Frances Lala.
Her last name is
Lala.
Gotcha.
Okay. So the second story is that Frances' husband left her right before Christmas, and she fell into a depression and didn't come to work for a long time. 2 or 3 months go by before she get herself together to get back into the bar, and her staff, not knowing what to do, had left the decorations up and agreed to make it this, make it like this warm, comfortable vibe that cheered everyone up. So they kept all the decorations in place. Do you want to do the final rumor?
Sure. The final rumor is that for her first Christmas running Lala's, she put up a lot of decorations. And then when she took them down in January, the place looked naked. You know how that can happen when you take decorations down.
It's called a decoration shock.
Ah,
yes.
So she put them back up straight away, and then decided that that would stay that way forever. And even though it's a nightmare to dust, those decorations stayed ever since.
I'm going with that one.
Yeah, for sure. The other one are too sad.
Right. And I think it brings us back to, especially when COVID hit in March in 2020, everyone basically went into the garage, grabbed their tree, and put, you're like, we're stuck inside.
Yeah.
I want to be cozy. This is a nightmare. And I just love that she's someone who pioneered that vibe. She's a legend. I got to meet her years ago. I've had drinks there. Oh, Elijah Wood was there when I was having a drink.
Nice.
It's a really, really great spot. And now there are two of them in Austin, Texas. So Lala's Nugget, if you ever get the chance to go, it's such a kick-ass bar. So I don't know. I feel full of holiday cheer. How about you?
I feel super full of holiday cheer. I'd like to be full of liquid holiday cheer after reading about all these, you know.
And we were talking about latkes. Yeah. I know. Latkes and holiday
latkes
cheer.
Latkes and cocktails? Yes, please.
Like, you need to stop fasting while we podcast.
I know. I really do. It's okay. I have like another hour and then I can go for it, guys. Then I can eat.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, from us to you, happy holidays, you guys. We appreciate you listening as always. You know, we appreciate all the server submitted stories you send our way. Send more, if you will, and all your lovely comments and, you know, compliments we've gotten through the year. Wouldn't you say, Brooke?
Yes. Happy holiday to you all. We will be back with more episodes through the end of the year. Until then, you know what we say.
Godspeed.
And good tips.
And to all a good night.
Go to Lala's.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Ho, ho, ho.